I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. My name is Matt Baum. And today on the show, we are going to talk about shoes, specifically shoes made of hemp. But before we get into that, let's talk about shoes for a minute. I love shoes. I'm a huge shoe guy. I'm not like walk-in closet full of shoes kind of guy, but I do love shoes. Adidas, Nike, Vans. I'm a huge fan. I hold on to them. I keep them clean. I like them to look good, but eventually they do get old. And then I get rid of them. Oftentimes, I'll take them to a secondhand clothing store. I try not to just throw them away. I'll donate them. But until I started working on this episode, I honestly didn't even think about how much plastic goes into shoes and how long they stick around. According to thechicecologist.com, it's estimated that 20 billion pairs of shoes are produced annually, with roughly 300 million pairs ending up in landfills after they've been worn. The ethylene vinyl acetate, which usually makes up the midsole of most running shoes, can last for as long as 1,000 years in a landfill. 1,000 years. And that is absolutely insane. The good news is there's people out there that are worried about this and thinking about it and have even started making a more ecologically responsible shoe. Today on the show, my conversation is with Bernardo Carrilla. He's a CEO of 8000 Kicks, and 8000 Kicks are making an all-purpose athletic shoe, if you will, out of hemp and algae-based plastic. And they're pretty friggin' amazing. 8000 Kicks is a startup, and Bernardo is super pumped about what's in store for the future. I'm really excited for you to hear this interview. Here's my conversation with Bernardo Carrilla, CEO of 8000 Kicks.
Okay, that's a good question. And I'm currently stuck in Portugal because of COVID.
You're stuck in Portugal. So yes. where would you be normally without this COVID business? Where would you be?
Actually, I'm from Portuguese. I'm here because my family is here.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would be in the U.S.
Okay.
Or I would be, we have currently doing some hemp production in China. So I would be either in the U.S. or China. But now I cannot go to either one.
So gotta love it, right? Which makes business really easy, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course, it's much easier.
Tell me about 8000 Kicks. What do you guys do there? We know that you make a hemp shoe. I have some on the way, and I'm super excited. But tell me about 8000 Kicks. What goes on there?
Okay, it's a long question because a lot of things go in there. But let me describe a little bit of what we do. What is the shoe that we do? It started out as an idea: how can we make a super shoe that is eco-friendly and meet all the needs of an active person, a millennial that wants to go to work and then go for a hike in the mountain be like a shoe for traveling, a shoe for a business, a shoe that I can wear whatever. And I don't want to wear like 10 pairs of sneakers or 10 different flip-flops every time I want to go to a different place, right?
Right.
So that's the need that we faced, and we wanted something sustainable because guess what? We are millennials and we care about, we want to do things properly.
Yeah.
And,
that's our cross to bear. We actually care about this stuff, right?
Yeah. Not just millennials, but it's super awesome to see that everyone nowadays cares about this, and our team is young and we're like, let's do things the way we want the world to be. And that's how it all started. It all started with a stupid brainstorming session when someone had the idea of we were all smoking. We were a bit high, right? And someone came up
with it happens. Idea. I get it.
Let's make a smokable shoe. And the kind of ideas that you would have when you're high.
Sure.
And then, and that's how we kind of joined cannabis to the equation. Back then, we didn't really know what we wanted to do exactly, but we just had a stupid idea of making hemp. And suddenly we realized that hemp is not only eco-friendly, but it's also super strong, super durable. And it's also cool.
Yeah.
Right. So we're like, cool. Okay, this is us. This is what we need. And suddenly the products start changing and okay, we need to add more. Let's make it waterproof because personally I live 2 years in London and London has a big problem, which is it rains all the time.
It rains all the time. Yeah.
All the time. Like day one, day two, day three, like 365 days.
Yeah. Also sunny every day too. It's weird because it's like the day starts up beautiful, then it rains. Then it's beautiful, then it rains again. It's so weird.
Exactly. Exactly. How can you have like a pair of canvas shoes? Like, I don't know, like a pair of All Stars. And you, the moment you step outside, you're soaked wet.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it's super annoying. And at the same time, you want to do different stuff. But after you're wearing All Stars for a long time, your feet kind of feel a little bit sore.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have more than that in terms of comfort. And that's kind of, we started like innovating. Okay, let's make something better. Then we decided make it waterproof, but what's next? What can we make it? And then we decided to, initially we were working with a recycled rubber sole, but now we did a like crazy upgrade where we use algae. Like we literally collect seaweed.
Algae? Like seaweed?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. I didn't know this part. Okay.
That was a crazy innovation. We were like, we need to make it, we need to stand out even more. So we start collecting, we partner with this company called Bloom and they collect algae from algal blooms.
Okay.
And why are we doing this? Because algae is like, first it kind of, it destroys the entire ecosystem. The entire ecosystem, if it grows exponentially in algal blooms. And at the same time, it has some interesting properties that we can use to make it super light. And that's exactly what we've done. We decided to incorporate some of these algae to make what we call Bloom Foam, which is the name of our partners.
That's great.
And so it's really light. Once you receive it, you'll see the shoe is like a feather.
So let's talk really about that for a second. Let's talk about everything that goes into it. First of all, you just decide, well, we want to make an eco-friendly shoe, but it needs to be waterproof. It needs to do everything. This isn't just a running shoe.
Yeah.
This is a all-around shoe. And then you decide we want to go with hemp. And you said you're dealing with hemp growers in China?
Yep.
How do you hook up with hemp growers in China? How does that work? Is it just like
I'm still figuring it out because I wish I knew, but it's just knocking doors.
Just find the finding, right company.
And I will tell you, this was the number one struggle we had with our project. We spent, from the moment we had the idea of making a smokable shoe until the moment we actually had a prototype, that was like 6 months.
Okay.
So it's hard.
Yeah.
You can Google and you'll find a lot of hemp manufacturers. The real problem is to understand the ones that actually make it good, the ones that make what you need, what we need. And then you have to also understand the one that has, I mean, the good quality. And that is the process that takes time. It's not, and then you also have another problem, which is, once you find the right one and the one that does it well and it waterproofs it with the technology that you want, and you can develop the fabric the way you want, then you realize, okay, but we need a huge minimum order for you. And
it's got to make sense money-wise,
really, really, really complicated.
You can't charge $5,000 for a pair of shoes. You've got to figure out how to bring the price down. So
exactly. And the thing is, they don't let you order like 10 meters.
Right.
Or you need to order 1,000 meters at once. And that is minimum order quantities. And that was a big struggle for us. Because for us to achieve that quality, we had to develop from scratch. In order to develop from scratch, you need big quantities.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was tough, very tough. But now we are like, we get the ball rolling. So we can now focus on bringing more innovation and bringing more products and continue this iteration process and improve every step of the way.
Tell me about the algae bloom plastic. How did you find that? Like initially, did you think maybe we can do it with hemp foam or hemp rubber or something?
Yeah, we had a lot of ideas. It's kind of, we brainstorm a lot and then we kind of saw this company doing this interesting stuff and they were exploring like, it was kind of random, I will honestly tell you. it's just like, you literally see something, okay, this is interesting, I'm going to dig into that. And I sent them a few emails and they replied, oh, this is interesting too. So we start developing it. And this was exactly 1 year ago. So
and where are they out of?
They're based in the US.
Okay.
And they partner with, they work with, they collect algae from like these algae blooms all over the US, Europe, and Asia.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we saw that they were doing some interesting stuff, working with surfboards. And okay, we want to develop the same thing for our shoes. And they were like, this is interesting. Let's do
it.
And we eventually developing, okay, we need more of this, more of that. And then 1 year later, we're launching the shoes with this technology.
It seems like a lot of this innovation comes from people like you who are just like, hey, can we do that? Is that something we should try? You know, and someone else is like, yeah, that's weird. Let's try it.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. But guess what? If you don't try it, you don't make it.
Exactly. So you've got your prototype. You started producing shoes. Where are they going to go? Where can I buy 8,000 kicks? When like, what's the challenge of getting these, you know, into markets? Where's it going to be?
Yeah. So this is something that we're trying to be very careful with. And the thing here is, we want to control every single step of production,
right,
to delivery, and to the customer. And the reason we do this is because problems happen. And
sure,
to be honest, we found problems where we did not really expect. And this allows us to look, I'm the CEO here and I answer customers' emails every day.
Yeah.
And which is not normal in a company. In most companies, you have
typically
the CEO
not. Every time I contact Apple, I certainly don't get, you know, Tim and the boys, you know.
Exactly. But the reason I do that is because it's crazy the amount of problems you face from production to customer. And we're still trying to fix every single one of them and make sure that they are properly sold before,
sure,
we expand and start selling. So right now, only on our website. So, and that's because we control it. Customers have an experience that we can control. They can communicate directly with us.
Cool.
We basically guarantee that they are 100% happy with the product. We know how the way they are using it. And if something goes wrong with the product, because sometimes it does,
sure,
we are there to replace it or exchange it or whatever needs to be done. And that's how we kind of want to make sure we grow and we make sure we do it properly.
So you said there were problems you ran into that you couldn't even foreseen. What was like some of those issues? What were the biggest issues that you ran into?
That's a big question. So this, I'm going to tell you a funny story.
Cool. Excellent.
When we were shipping,
the success is fun. We love talking about success, but like the mistakes and the problem, that's where the real story is, right? That's where the fun is.
Yeah, exactly. I will tell you a funny one. So one of the big problems we had was we were shipping everything out of the UK.
Okay.
Because it's like, okay, this seems like a no-brainer. UK has competitive worldwide prices. Let's ship the shoes from the UK to the US. Delivery time is kind of fast. Let's do it. Suddenly, we realized that customers got the shoes in the US. And imagine you buy a shoe, we ship it from the UK, and it's the wrong size.
Oh, yeah, because UK sizing and US sizing is different.
No, not really. Actually, We have the shoes in US sizes.
Oh, gotcha. But I got my shoes.
Sometimes people are the wrong size.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, so we just say, hey, you can ship the shoes back to us. We don't have a return service. We right now we are working and we're going to launch a free return service. But imagine that our exchanges, we were like, okay, just send us the shoe back. We're going to exchange it. And then some customers were like, oh, this is impossible. I'm paying like,
$20, I'm paying $30 to send it back to the UK.
Yeah, and we were like, oh, really? We were like, we were not expecting this. We thought it was like, okay, we thought it was kind of cheap.
cheap for you because you're sending so many. But when it's one person sending one box, that's a whole different story. Yeah. So
we were like, this is a problem because we cannot allow our customers to pay this value for an exchange. This is not. I mean, it's. If I was a customer, I'll be a bit annoyed.
Sure. Right?
So we hired, this is a really funny story. We hired, I was looking for a student in the US. And I hired him and I said, bro, I'm going to pay you to receive our shoes. I'm going to send you spare boxes and I'm going to send you a cleaning kit. You're going to receive the shoes. You're going to exchange them and you're going to send them to the shoe, to the right customers.
Right.
And basically we had a student working in the US, helping us do all the exchanges for us.
It's like your own little private like UPS hub, basically. And it's just like one dude cleaning shoes and mailing them out. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, it was this guy saved our life. I mean, customers were like, man, this is impossible. We cannot ship the shoes back to the UK. And they're like, and then we found this solution. And it was really funny. We had a fulfillment center in Florida from this student, which was kind of funny.
That's awesome. Is he still with the company or has he graduated and moved on?
Yeah, I graduated. No.
That's too bad. It's hard to find good help, you know?
Yeah.
So have you heard?
But it was, we still get in touch with him and eventually got some spare shoes. Some shoes never got used, never got shipped. So he got pretty happy with two or three pairs of shoes for himself.
That's not bad. Have you heard from any of the big boys yet? Have you heard from like Adidas or Nike or anything? Have they been poking around to see what you're doing? Like, do you know, is anyone else doing stuff like this right now with shoes?
With hemp, there are a few companies. We already got some copycats.
Yeah, of course.
To be honest, if we were like, I mean, it's always like mixed feelings, right? You get a copycat, you feel like...
it's a compliment.
Oh, these guys are...
but it's a compliment, right? I mean, they're saying like, hey, these guys have a good idea.
We see it as a compliment.
Let's do what they're doing.
Exactly. And to be honest, more than a compliment, we see it as like, these guys, if they're doing it right and they're... by using hemp itself, it's just already like amazing. Okay.
Right.
Perfect. We want to make hemp great again. If other shoe companies make hemp as well, use hemp as well, that would be awesome. That means that we are achieving our vision of making hemp great again. And also it's a compliment for our business as well. And it's a little bit like, you always feel a little bit, oh, these guys are
right. Right.
But in the end, I think it's, you need to tell, to take like, you cannot be a selfish and you need to be a little bit more altruist towards what's happening overall rather than you.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to understand that it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you selling shoes. It's
right.
You're creating something for the planet, not just for you.
Like if everybody started copying you, the world would be a better place. And maybe sure, you've got a lot of competition, but hey, we've changed the world at that point. So
exactly.
That's something.
Exactly.
That's not something.
Exactly.
You know. So have any of the big guys, have you heard from anyone, like any major shoe producers that are looking into doing something like this?
We got a few, big shoes. And to be honest, I look at it the same way. I doubt that they will make a lot of hemp shoes, but if they start making hemp shoes, I will take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
But I saw some big companies buying our shoes already.
Oh, yeah?
Because
they want to check them out.
They, Because they buy the shoes with the business email.
Oh, really? Come on, guys. They're like, ship to like Rick Shipman from rick@nike.com, you know, or whatever. Exactly. Come on.
Exactly.
Man. You got to be smarter than that. So what?
To be honest, I see it. And to be honest, it's a compliment for I show it the team and say, hey, guys, the competition is buying our shoes. But in the same way, we're like, it's not really competition for me. It's like we're doing something unique. We are doing something that we identify ourselves with. And to be honest, if everyone starts making hemp shoes and they are good for the environment, then we just... We will move into making more eco-friendly stuff so that they can copy us again.
Mark that a win, definitely. How many people out there right now are wearing your shoes? Like, how many have you shipped so far? Roughly. You don't have to give me an exact number, but like roughly.
Okay, a few thousand, cannot say for sure, 4,000 or 5,000.
So this is still like, this is very new. This is like a small club of people around the world that are checking these out.
Exactly.
But what are they saying? Those who have bought them, like what's the response to them?
I don't want to sound biased because I will obviously say that they love them.
Right.
I mean,
I didn't think you'd come in like, they hate them. Oh God, it's been a failure.
I mean, well, you can always check our reviews on the Trustpilot. Those we cannot control.
Trustpilot's really good.
People go there and they post the reviews and I completely like, out of control. Yeah. But some reviews and some feedback from people that mostly they all like the shoes. Some of them give comments like, "Oh, I wish my shoe was lighter." Oh, I wish my shoe was. And this is something that we take really serious, and that's why we improved to bring this new algae sole.
Yeah,
this new bottom is super light because this guy is right, and he gave the like a few people said, I wish the shoe was a bit lighter. And we're like, they are right. We need to improve it. And then we make it super light.
That's where the new soles came in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the first sole made of? Like, was that the recycled plastic, recycled rubber, you said?
Yeah, okay. Recycled rubber. So we changed the entire structure. We used the algae, which makes it super light. And that was a big innovation for us, but that's basically what happened. People complaining that it was, these shoes could be lighter. And we're like, how can we do this? We hate this company that does algae bloom foam. And we decided let's do it. And that's how it started.
So what's the plan?
Other feedback, other things, or the small things. People said that the cork rubber was very good. Very interesting, but they wish it was a little bit more cushioning.
Yeah.
Which to be honest, I did not really expect, but, after like reasoning with the customers, I understood that they were like, it didn't have the feel that they wanted. So we're like, how can we improve this? So, I mean, a shoe, there's no such thing as a perfect shoe. There's always stuff to improve. So
of course
we move this. Yeah. And that's how we can improve the shoe to be a super shoe. We always like this small detail, and that's how it goes.
And you answering the emails, you're on the front line, so you are hearing this stuff direct. It's not like someone is coming to you with a market report going, sir, 14.2% of the respondents said that the shoe needs to be a little bit lighter. You're like, you're just getting emails directly from customers like, hey, man, I wish your shoe was a little lighter.
Yeah.
And that kicks in a new idea of like, all right, how do we do that? And it's sent, man. I got to check out this algae foam. That sounds amazing. What's next?
You're getting them shipped to your place right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm super excited. So what's next for you guys? Post-COVID, you're coming back to the States and then you take over the U.S.? Is that the plan? We're all wearing hemp shoes?
Yeah, we're going to make a mandatory for every farmer.
I love it.
The plan is we're still really small, right? So the idea is we're making sure that we're bringing new colors, making sure that people like what we're doing, growing with very strong foundation, and we have a lot of attention already. But we don't want to outgrow what is sustainable.
Right.
We want to make sure that we are full control of what we make. And for that reason, the idea is to go to the US so that we can follow up a little bit more on this process, be there with our customers, do a few more events where we actually are in person with the customers, which is kind of complicated right now.
Right.
Because of the COVID.
Yeah.
But we wish we would be doing that right now. Bring new colors. What colors do customers want? How do they feel about walking with the shoes? Do they want more like a summer? They want more like summer stuff, more like winter stuff. Of course, now it's winter and summer coming, but that's easy to say. But
right.
What exactly is that you want for summer? Or how? But we don't want to make like just another summer shoe or another winter shoe. We want to like. It has to fit our, like, it has to be amazing, right?
Sure.
Otherwise, we're just making another pair of, I don't know, sandals or another pair of boots. I mean,
but these are blue. And these are pink.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're
it has to be really high quality. And our idea is like small amount of products, but amazing.
So the idea is to like,
and I'm really excited for you to try them because
I'm
really,
super excited.
We've been developing this for a long time.
So the idea is to scale up responsibly, basically, and not outgrow the quality that you're trying to maintain now, while also pushing the product forward.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing, man. So, what is 8,000 kicks? Where's the name come from?
Okay, that's a good question. A lot of people ask that. it actually comes from 8,000 BC. That's when hemp originated in Asia.
Okay.
In Taiwan and China. Basically, hemp started back then, and we said let's honor the past and let's use a funky number.
That's great.
8,000 kicks. That's how we came up with it.
I love it. Bernardo, I can't wait for you to get back to the States. I mean, I'm sorry you're trapped there, but I got to get one of those hats too. I'm going to get on your site and go order one of those hats. I'm guessing that's all hemp as well.
The hats. Oh, these hats.
Yeah. the hat you're wearing. Yes. Yeah.
these ones are not for sale yet. We are developing them, but not for sale yet. And we have a few ideas, funky ideas that we want to launch, but the hats are one of them.
Cool.
But not yet.
Fair enough.
Not right now, only the masks.
So final question, if I'm Adidas or I'm Nike and I come to you tomorrow and I go, Bernardo, this is an idea, man. How much you want? Right. I'll write you a check right now. Are you selling or are you holding on to it?
To be honest, not really selling. I think if it was for the money, there would be easier ways to make money.
Absolutely.
I would go to investment banking or something like that.
Sure.
But you know, there's something that the big brands have that I don't have. And that is the access to a lot of resources.
Right.
And the access to a lot of to a big networks. And so although we're like really committed to do amazing stuff and we have a lot of energy and motivation, we still a lot of times it takes us a lot of effort to get so imagine like these guys have big Ferraris, like then they can have really big machines, and basically we don't have big machines, so we have to run all night to catch up with them.
Right exactly.
Yeah, so the thing is we are really committed to quality, and by teaming up with people that have a lot of experience, that would be like very good for us. So we want to scale up the team to bring more quality. But these big companies have a lot of resources that can help us drive our mission. And so it wouldn't be a question of money. It would be a question of what do they bring to the table that can help us bring this this project further.
That's awesome. That's completely awesome. So for now, if I want to buy a pair of shoes, I have to go to 8000kicks.com.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thanks so
and
much.
Buy one each color.
Yeah, buy one each color. Deal.
We're coming up with new colors, and if you want to suggest any new color, feel free to reach out on Instagram or Facebook or just via email, because many times I'm there with my colleagues answering the emails.
Cool.
So you'll probably get a message directly from me asking you more questions. Hey, what color?
You guys, it sounds like you've got a great product, and it sounds like people are excited. I'm super excited for this. Shoes are one of those things that I don't think we think about enough when we buy them, because they do have so much plastic and there's a bunch of cloth on them. And when you get done with those shoes, they just get thrown away into a landfill. When yours, since they're hemp and this algae plastic, do they break down better eventually? Like when I'm done with them and I've worn them for 5 or 10 years, when I'm done with them, will they be around as long as like my Nike shoes?
Yeah, definitely not. They are not, however, I have to be 100% transparent. They are not, the shoes are not 100% natural. This is a fact. They are like 95% natural. Then we had to add, for instance, our membrane. It's synthetic.
Right.
So this is how we guarantee that it's waterproof. But to be honest, we don't mind adding that 5% extra of like 5% of like synthetic material to improve the features and to make sure the product is extra good.
Yeah.
I think, and also in many cases, that also helps us reduce the CO2 footprint, which for us is a big number.
Definitely.
That's one of our biggest KPIs. And right now we have a 4.1 kilo CO2. Yeah, kilo per shoe. And that is a big, I mean, there is a really low number.
Yeah.
Like most shoes consume 30 kilos of CO2 per production. By adding this small synthetic, we reduce a lot the CO2 that goes out, and we increase a lot the features of the shoes. And that basically what that does is, instead of the shoes lasting 6 months, they last 1 year, 2 years. So it's the 5% that we would rather not replace by natural materials.
Sure.
That do not perform as well.
But the point being, like 95% natural is 95% more than just about every other shoe on the market. So I'm not
exactly
it. I mean, like, that sounds pretty good to me. So
yeah, I mean, full transparency on our side.
Yeah, no, and that's awesome. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't even bring that up. I'm glad you did, but I think it's amazing. I'm excited to get these. I think you guys have what looks like a really cool product, and as I know, there's others on the market, but you've already sent some to some people in Ministry of Hemp, and they're like, I love them. I think they're amazing. So I'm super excited, man, and I look forward to. I finally got my pair of black with black sole 8,000 kick hemp shoes this week, which is cool because I can wear them with all my metal t-shirts and stuff. And I gotta say, I love them. They're lightweight, they're super comfortable. They're a fantastic shoe and I feel good owning them too. If you wanna check out 8,000 Kicks, I will have a link to their website in the notes for this episode. Thanks for joining me again for another episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Next time on the show, I'm going to be talking to some local guys right here in Nebraska, where I'm from. Ministry of Hemp is technically out of Austin, Texas, where Kit, our editor-in-chief, and Drew, our brand managers, live. But right here in Nebraska, there's some people doing some really cool stuff with hemp, so I'm excited to talk to them. If you need more Ministry of Hemp in your life before that, head over to our site, ministryofhemp.com, and check out some really good articles we have up right now. We have an update on the side effects of CBD oil, and it talks all about whether or not CBD is safe. We also have a really interesting article about, can you overdose on CBD if you take too much? Spoiler alert, no. But it's a good read, and if anybody could, it would be me, because I have a ton of it, and I'm always trying different CBD stuff for this show. Speaking of the show, if you like what you hear, give us a rating, give us a review. It really does help for us to get this information to people that are looking for it, and it raises us in the search algorithms as well. And if you really want to help us out, head to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. We just put up a podcast extra today. Me talking to Evan Nissen from Normal. You may remember him from last week's episode. We talk about his San Francisco-based cannabis tour guide company that takes people on tours of local cannabis dispensaries and farms. It's a really cool little discussion, and it's our way of saying thank you to you guys for supporting us on Patreon. You can find a link to our Patreon in our show notes. And speaking of the show notes, here at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that a more accessible world is better for everyone. So we include a full written transcript of this episode in the show notes over at ministryofhemp.com. All right, that's it. I got to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining me again. And I like to end the show the same way every time. Remember to take care of yourself. Remember to take care of others and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.